Titus chapter 3. Look in verse 1. But put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be brawlers, to be no brawlers. Ooh, boy, we about read that wrong. To be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Thank God for that. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. We certainly need You, Lord, to come by for just a little while. We need a touch in that from heaven. Lord, I don't know how to preach. I make that statement to You this morning. And God, I can't preach on my own. And Lord, I know that this morning. And Lord, I pray that there's somebody here this morning that's lost and undone without You, that they'd come and get saved before it's too late. Lord, I know today is Easter, and I know that folks got things to do today. But Lord, I pray that they just let their mind and their heart and that for just a little while be focused and that upon the Word of God, Lord, and let the Holy Spirit and that deal with hearts today so that they might be saved. Lord, I pray that You'd keep hindrances in that far, far away this morning. God, that You'd help folk to be able to be attentive to the Word of God. Save somebody that's lost this morning. Thank You for living. Thank You for getting out of the tomb today so that we might have life and have it more abundant. God, meet with us now. Help us to be very timely in the message today. Save that sinner to his nearest tale for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. As we look in the book of Titus, as the Apostle Paul is laying out, and that to Titus for him to lay out to his church, he tells him in chapter 3, if you go back to chapter 2, he's giving instruction for him to instruct with. But in chapter 3, he tells them to, put them in mind to be subject to principalities, to speak evil of no man, not to be brawlers, but to be gentle. And he's laying all these things out. And he begins to talk about in verse 3, his lost condition. Now, every one of us in here can either fit into that now or once upon a time. There was a time when you were like verse 3, if you've ever been lost. And everybody in the whole world has been lost at one time or another. Amen. And that's why you got saved, is because you found yourself in a lost condition and needed to get saved. And boy, ain't you glad of that. We sung about it up here. I can tell you now the time. Hey, I'm glad I've got a time that I remember that I got saved. Amen. And that Jesus come into my heart. And he talks about that. He said we were foolish and disobedient and deceived and serving divers lusts. That means many and plenty of it. And pleasures and living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. And boy, he lays out how that lost condition truly is. But then he said, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appear. How did that happen? Listen, that happened in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see kindness and love in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody, hey, I tell you what, I've never figured out, I was having a conversation with a fellow the other day. I've never figured out why preachers and why God's people want to be mean and hateful. Now, there's a time for me to preach and preach God's truth at all points. The truth is always needed. And sometimes you'll think that I am hateful and that I might be a little mean. And sometimes we preach and that with fire and anger behind us. And I'll tell you what, it'll do you good to get angry sometimes. Because just be angry and sin not, like the Bible says, because that'll move you to do something, amen, about what the problem is. But listen, I've never figured out why God's people would want to be mean and hateful and that to a lost and dying world, because we're trying to win them, and we ought to be showing them the love and the kindness of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Never figured that out yet. But we ought to be doing that tonight or today. Amen. Won't you look in verse 5. Now listen, I know y'all got places to go, and I do too. And dinner's awaiting, no doubt. But listen, I want you to look in verse 5. I want you to look what he said. He said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. If I could preach for just a little while, I want to preach on being saved. But what are we saved from? That word saved, it implies something, you see. It implies that we were in fear of danger or destruction. That word saved means to preserve from injury or destruction, to rescue from danger. Hey, ain't you glad that Jesus come by one day and rescued you and that from sure judgment and sure hell that was waiting on you and me. Amen. Hey, that word saved means to hinder from being spent or lost. It means to preserve from final and everlasting destruction or to lay by for preservation. Just as sure as I could say, listen, my wife will tell you that I can be a hoarder sometimes. And I say, I'm going to save that bottle right there and use it for later. You know what my wife says? She says, you might save it, but you ain't going to use it. That's what she tells me sometimes. I'm going to hold on to it so that I can have it. Hey, can I say that was in my power to save? It was in my power in that to save it or throw it away. Can I say that's the way that we are with the Lord Jesus Christ, that we were in his power, and that either to save or throw away. Listen, he has the power to save. Listen, the devil don't have the power to save. I don't have the power to save. You go back and you look at what the Apostle Paul said. He said, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Listen, friend, it's not found in our works. It's not found in our goodness. Isaiah chapter 64, I said that all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Hey, listen, ain't none of us ever been good enough to get saved. I know you're tired. I know you probably wore out this morning. But we all ought to shout, and that for our salvation. Some said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We ought to come in here excited about our salvation. We didn't work for it. We didn't pay for it. Christ Jesus the Lord give it to us. And we didn't even deserve it. Amen. And he saved us in our sin. Thanks be unto God this morning. Amen. Amen. My old body ain't going to keep up with this preaching. I'm telling you, if you see me fold up on the floor, don't you think nothing of it. Amen. You pick me up and drag me up here behind the pulpit, and I'll keep on preaching. Amen. I want you to look at what he said. I got to hurry, or we're going to get dragged down here. I want you to look. He said, but according to his mercy, he saved us. I'm very glad of God's mercy today. As we've seen in Sunday school, mercy means we did not receive what we deserve to get. And grace means that we got something that we didn't deserve to get. Amen. And so I thank God for his mercy and grace. I want to preach this morning for just a second or two, God being our helper, on what did we get saved from. See, like I say, salvation, or the word save, implies that there is danger or destruction. If you save something or save somebody, that means there's danger or destruction. Can I say that first of all, number one, that we were saved from the possession and ownership of Satan. I no longer belong to him. Boy, I'm glad you say, well, preacher, I don't belong to him. Oh, yeah, you do.
Listen, if you're lost this morning, you may not believe it. You may not want to believe it. But I'll tell you this morning, you belong to the devil this morning. I mean, John chapter 8 and verse 44, as he was telling the Pharisees over there, I mean, Jesus was talking to good people, talking to people who kept the law, who tried or said that they lived right and wanted to be right. But listen, he told them, you have your father the devil, and the lust of your fathers you'll do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar. And the father, hey, I'm going to tell you what, the devil will lie to you, tell you that you're okay, that you're all right. Paul said there was a time that when he was lost, that he was disobedient, he was deceived. Listen, I believe that he was talking about he was deceived in the law, deceived that he thought everything was okay. Listen, I'm glad I'm not deceived no longer, but I come to the saving knowledge and the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ that he could save me. But listen, this morning, you belong to the devil, amen. The possession of Satan. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10. Listen, you're in bondage to a taskmaster. You're in bondage to a taskmaster. Bible said in this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. He makes a distinction and a difference between the two. You know, when the children of Israel were down in the land of Egypt living in the world, if you'd let me say that, they were under the taskmasters of this world. You know what the Bible said in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28? He said, come to me, all they that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Then he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find rest for yourselves. He said, take my yoke upon you, for I'm meek and lowly at heart. You know, the Bible said that the commandments of the Lord are not grievous. Serving God is not hard. Amen. Serving the devil is hard. He'll wire you out. I mean, listen, you're in bondage to him. If you go to Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, I want you to look at what the Apostle Paul said about when we were worldly and lost. He said, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Been made alive. That's what that word quicken means. You've been made alive. You were dead, but you've been made alive. Not dead anymore. Where in times past, and I've got penciled in right above, or wrote in right above that, time past, there was a little spot in my Bible, and I pinned in and said, not now. And I'm not adding to the Word of God. That was just my note I put in. Where in times past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the eye of the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were what? By nature, the children of wrath. See, the Bible tells us it is your nature and that to be a child of wrath. It is your nature in your lost condition. You're born lost, safe until the age of accountability. And then when you realize that you're a sinner, friend, judgment and condemnation has fell in your life. How do you know that, preacher? David, when that little baby died over there in the book of 2 Samuel, he said, look, he said, I can't go to him, or he can't come back to me, but I can go to him. Amen. Thank God for that promise there. But there comes a time when you realize that you're lost and you need to get saved. And we realize our nature. Adam dropped us all off back there in the garden, didn't he? And our nature is that of a sinner. And we're held in condemnation and that of being a sinner until you get saved. But see, the devil is the one who owns you. He talks about the course of this world. He said, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, the way that the world is going, the things of the world. You say, well, I know a lot of saved people that does that. Yeah, I do too. Amen. They're worldly. That's what's hurt the church more than anything has been worldly Christians. Amen. People say they're saved. And I've determined not everybody that's sitting on a church pew saved. Amen. Not everybody that's got their name on the roll. Hey, I had mine for years upon the roll until I got saved. Amen. Got baptized. I wrote my name down on a roll, but thanks be to God, one Sunday night, amen. I realized I was lost, amen. I'm not lost anymore. But I want you to look. He said, the prince. He said, what? According to the prince and the power of the hour, that's Satan. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, that's his spirit. And he talks about us being the children of wrath. That is just a nature, you see. So I don't belong to him, preacher. I'm not going to do what he wants me to do. 2 Timothy chapter 2 said in meekness, as Paul is writing to Timothy, he said, meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, talking about lost folk, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You better listen to me now. Devil will get you. He's sneaky and he is sly. And even we as Christians, we got to watch for him because he's our adversary. He's our enemy. But listen, friend, he owns you if you're lost. You say, I'm a free moral agent. I'll do as I please. No, you won't. If it was not for the grace of God that was shed abroad in our hearts and the blessed Holy Spirit who come and knocked on our heart's door, you'd have never got saved.
Right. That's the truth.
You didn't figure out that you were lost. The Holy Spirit come and told you that you were lost.
Amen.
Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will hear my voice and will open the door, he said, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. So the devil holds you at bondage. He holds you at bay. He's got you today. You must understand that. We go back to John chapter 8. You do have a taskmaster. You do have somebody that is over you. You do have somebody that wants to control you. John chapter 8 and verse 31. Jesus is talking here and he said, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I ain't talking about being deceived. I'm not talking about believing a lie. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now here's what they said. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. That was a lie. That was a lie. How could Israel ever say that we've never been in bondage to any man? How could that be? If you went home from the play last night, you'd have seen on, was it NBC? ABC, excuse me, ABC. You'd have seen that they were playing what? The Ten Commandments. Charlton Heston. They got some of it right and some of it not so right. Amen. Amen. I told my wife, I said, I've never watched this movie all the way through. And I'd like to watch it. And I got over there where they parted the Red Sea and I fell asleep. I still didn't get to see it. Amen. But I do know that he got the Ten Commandments. Amen. The Bible tells me. So, amen. Amen. Listen, they said, we've never been in bondage. For 430 years, they were down in the land of Egypt. For 400 of them, they were in bondage. Amen. Read the book of Exodus over there. Read the book of Exodus where they got put in bondage. They said, we're Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage to anybody. Oh, yeah, they had. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they had. Read the book of Judges.
Amen.
Look at how many times that they were put in bondage in the book of Judges. Over and over and over again. Go back and look in the book of Daniel. Go back and look in the book of Jeremiah and the book of Lamentations and the book of Ezekiel. And all those times that they were carried down into in the land of Babylon and put in bondage. And here they stand before Christ Jesus the Lord, and they say, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. You may say this morning, hey, I am who I am. I'm not in bondage to anybody. You're deceived. You're fooling yourself this morning, friend, if you believe that. Said, we've never been in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. A lot of times we misquote that verse and say, if the Son therefore sets you free. The Bible said, make you free. There is a difference between being, I've preached on it before. Been a long time since I preached that message on the difference on being made free and set free. You know, the jailer can set you free. But only the judge can make you free.
Amen.
Amen.
You, hey, that's just the way it is. And only the Lord Jesus Christ can make you. For he said, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. Then answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the work of Abraham. You know what? If you were saved this morning, if you were not in bondage to the devil, you'd be doing the works of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. He makes a difference in you. You know how I know I'm saved? One, he resides in my heart. Two, he made a difference in my life. He changed me. But when I got changed, I wanted to serve him. Now, sometimes it's a better service than it is at others. Amen. Sometimes I serve him with a better heart than I do at other times. Sometimes I'm half-hearted and barely-hearted and no-hearted. Sometimes I have little faith and no faith. And then there's other days we have great faith. And Brother Jeff got it right. If you ever fall into that realm of little faith or no faith, it takes a long time to get over that.
Amen.
It does. It takes a long time to get over that. But the devil's got you, you see. He told him, he said, you'd do the works of Abraham if he was your father. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Then he said in verse 44, I've already quoted it, that you're of your father the devil, and unless your fathers you'll do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. So you're in bondage. You're in possession to the devil if you're lost this morning. If you're unsaved, when I got saved, I got saved from the clutches of Satan. He no longer has me. Everybody that belongs to him, he's going to take to hell.
Amen.
One day after a while. You need to understand that right there. The devil is not your friend. He is your, no matter how you want to look at it, he wants to destroy your life. Everything he has ever touched, he has destroyed and brought to an end if he could. Number two, you're not only saved from the possession and the ownership and that of Satan, but you're saved and that from the penalty of sin. Ain't you glad of that today? Sin, and that holds a penalty. You say, preacher, I'm not a sinner. The Bible said in Romans 5 and 12, wherefore as by one man sin into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. Why? For all have sinned. By the way, this is a very simple message this morning. You believe you're a sinner? You say, preacher, I've been good all my life. That ain't what I ask you. I said, do you believe that you're a sinner? So you got to come to the place where you believe that you're a sinner.
Amen.
Before you can ever get saved. You'll not see your need in it until you do. What am I going to get saved from, preacher? What am I going to get saved if I've been good all these times? If I've just done the best that I... God ain't looking for the best that we can.
That's right.
Your best ain't good enough. My best is not good enough. And you have to understand something, that Adam, all the way back in the beginning, dropped us off and made us all sinners. The Bible said that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. ALL, it don't leave anybody out.
Right.
Every one of us sitting in here, from the youngest unto the oldest, is a sinner. You may not want to believe that. You may not want to admit that. You may not want to come to that realization, but you are a sinner. Your mama was a sinner. My mamma, my grand, we called her grand, as great as she was and as much as she loved God, she had to get saved to get to heaven. Amen. My grandmother loved God. Well, man, I tell you, that's one of the benefits of growing up down there. We'd sit out on the, and I know I've told y'all this, but we'd sit out on the front porch and they didn't have air conditioner. And man, they had a little old two-room shotgun house, you know, that had a bathroom put on it back in the 80s. In the 80s now. Huh? I still remember using the outhouse down there when I was a kid. They still had it. Amen. I'm glad I didn't grow up with the outhouse. Some of y'all did. But I'm glad I didn't. Amen. Thank God for indoor plumbing. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's right, brother. Amen.
Amen.
Well, listen, I can remember sitting down there and we'd sit on that front porch swing and she sewed. She took in sewing and ironing. That's how she made money. And my grandmother was a seamstress. And she would sew. And we'd sit, and I'm just talking about when I was just about 5 or 6, 7 years old. We'd sit out there on that swing and swing back and forth. And breeze would blow across that porch. And I'm remembering, you see. That's why I got my eyes shut. Because I can see it in my mind.
Amen.
And breeze would blow and she'd pat me on the leg. And she'd say, okay, we need to thank the Lord for the good breeze that just come through. And we'd sit out there and we'd sing, and she had this old bookshelf in her bedroom. See, she had a bedroom and Papa had a bedroom. I never understood that. Amen. But they did. They had their separate bedrooms. And she had a bookshelf in there and kept song books in there. And I'd go in there when I was just a little bitty fella and we'd get them song books out. And I don't know if she done it to humor me or why, but we'd always sit out there and sing about the Lord. She'd tell me about the Lord. Mm-mm. Boy, I'm thankful for my heritage this morning. But you know what? Even as good as Gran was, she had to get saved.
Right.
I'm going to tell you this morning, there's a penalty for sin. The Bible said, now let me tell you something. I don't know if I've done a real good job of convincing you of your sin. But whether I have or not, the Holy Spirit's going to have to convince you of it. He's got to convince you and convict you of your sin. And when you realize that, then you realize that there is a penalty for being a sinner. The Bible said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 that for the wages of sin is death. There is a penalty for being a sinner. There is. If you go back and you look, there is condemnation under the law. Romans chapter 3 said, now we know that whatsoever things the law said, it said to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. As long as you remain in your sin, then you stand guilty before God. And there is a penalty upon your life. Now look in John chapter 3. Some of the greatest verses ever wrote and penned.
Amen.
In the Bible.
Amen.
As he talks to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a man,
yeah,
who was a good man. The Bible said that in the first part that he was a Pharisee.
Yep.
That means he knew something about God. He knew,
amen,
something about the law. He was a teacher of the law. As a matter of fact, the Lord, he said in verse 10, he said, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? I'm determined these folk don't know better about some things. But I want you to look in verse 14 as the Lord, as he uses that serpent that Moses held up in the wilderness over there. You remember that story in the Old Testament where they murmured against God? And God sent them far as serpents out there and would bite them. And Moses made a brazen serpent out of the word of God and said if they would look to that serpent, whoever's bid will live. And so right here in verse 14, Jesus uses that example, knowing that Nicodemus was going to know that. And he said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. They lifted him up at Calvary, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever... Well, I can remember in vacation Bible school and in Sunday school, I guess this must be a morning for reminiscing, that I can remember when we learned that verse, that we would take out whosoever and put our name there. Well, you're talking about some Sunday school teachers making it personal, you know. So you shouldn't have done that. But boy, for a kid, it made it all personal, you see. You see, the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that Mark, that if Mark believeth on him, in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, there is a perishing. Remember I was talking about the penalty of sin?
Amen.
There is a perishing
For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be what? Saved. What am I preaching on? What are we saved from? He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world. Why? The world was already condemned. Took me a little while to figure that whole thing out after I got saved. You say, well, that's very plain. It is. But it still took me a little while to figure all that out. Jesus didn't come to judge the world. Now, there's come a day He's going to judge the world. But when He came the first time, He didn't come to judge the world. He came to save the world. Word was already set in condemnation.
Amen.
Just like you. If you're lost, you're in condemnation. You're condemned to die and spend eternity in hell. I want you to understand that this morning. That if you die in your lost condition, that you're going to die and go to hell. We look in Luke chapter 16. The penalty for dying lost. So preacher, I don't believe Luke chapter 16. We might as well just not believe the rest of the Bible. If you're going to take out one chapter, one verse, throw it all out. Well, don't be so dramatic. No, don't be so crazy as to say, well, I don't believe it here, but I believe it over here. Why? Why? Why would you believe it over here and not believe it over there? You're either going to take it by faith that the Word of God is right or it's wrong.
Amen.
Look in Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Now let me stop right here and let you understand something. You're going to die. Hebrews 9:27, as is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. But Steve was telling us about a gentleman down there in the prayer room. Said that he ate supper, he wasn't feeling good. As his wife got up to go get the blood pressure monitor and come back from getting the blood pressure monitor, he was slumped over at the table. Just like that. Death comes fast, you see. You may not have time to cry out to God. May not have the desire to cry out to God. I'm going to tell you, death catches most of us unaware. Now, I think there's folk laying in the hospital and folk laying at home dying of cancer, dying of a terminal illness, that understands that death is on their door and it's sitting there knocking and about to get them. I understand that. But for most of us, as long as we're healthy, as long as we're fit, we think that death ain't going to get none of us.
Right. Amen.
My daddy's a 2 mile a day walker. Some of you thought I was going to say a 2-pack-a-day smoker. He is a 2-mile-a-day walker. Boy, I bet I can market that with something. Amen. But you know what? Here about a year ago, Daddy got to walking. I mean, Daddy's 70 years old, and he still walks 2 miles every day. And he got to walking, and about a quarter of a mile into that thing, his chest would get to hurting. And he's got a hiatal hernia up here, and so he thought that was it. And so he kept on walking. He said, I'll just walk on through it, you know. And so he done it the next day and the next day. And that thing rocked on for 2 weeks. And he said, my arms would get a little weak, but my legs never did get weak. He said, I just moved right on. But after 2 weeks, he said, he told me one day, he told me, he said, you know, I've been having these chest pains. And he said, I think I'm going to go to the doctor and have it checked out. And so, of course, most of y'all know the story. He ended up having to have a stent put in because it was 90% blocked. He said, son, he said, I almost left out of here. The doctor told him he was stupid. Man, was the doctor's actual words. He said, you were stupid. He said, when your chest started hurting, you should have sat down and quit. He said, I was that close. You know how close all of us are? David said, we ain't got but one step betwixt us and death.
There's no guarantee that old Mark's going to finish this this morning. There's no guarantee that you're going to hear me finish it this morning. You need to understand that, but there is a penalty. So we find that the rich man died and the beggar died. So it does not matter about your status in life. Does not matter about your pocketbook. We're all going to face death.
Amen.
Look in verse 23. Talks about the rich man also dying was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes being in torments. And seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am what? Tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. I don't care what the Pope says. I don't care if what he said was true or untrue. Don't make no never mind to me. If he says there's no hell, don't change the book. If he says there is a hell, don't change the book. The book said that there's a hell. That's burning with fire. And he said, I'm tormented in this flame. How's that work, preacher? How's that work? How's that work? Your soul on the inside looks just like you. This flesh is going to go back to the ground. But what's on the inside, that soul that's in there, will spend eternity somewhere. He went on to say, and besides all this, betwixt us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, and neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. I understand the doctrinal issue of paradise and all that, but listen, there is a separation that comes when you go to hell that you can never come out of. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Well, I'm telling you, Abraham had it nailed down, didn't he? Abraham had it figured out. He said, even if I send Lazarus back, there's no guarantee that they're going to hear him. You need to hear the word of God. That's what he said. If they don't hear Moses and the prophets, it don't matter if I send anybody back from the dead or not. Listen, the same truth is today. You have to heed and hear the word of God and that to be saved. Christ Jesus came out of the tomb and there are still people dying lost today in their sin because they don't believe. The penalty of sin is death. The penalty of sin is hell. And then there comes a day, like has been portrayed in this play, at the very end. And they do a good job portraying that, by the way. I told my wife, I said, man, that'll almost makes you want to get saved again. Amen. Now, I'm glad you saved one time and you got it. Amen. I'm not getting out of the Baptist doctrine here nor the Bible doctrine. But it almost makes you want to. Amen. He said in verse 11 in Revelation 20, he said, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away and there was found no place for them. You know, Adam and Eve went and hid amongst the trees, didn't they? The first time judgment ever come upon mankind, he ran and hid. But see, this day there will be no place to hide. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. Now I want you to pay attention to what your Bible says. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The dead. Not the living, but the dead. If you've never come to Christ Jesus the Lord, then you've never been made alive. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. That's the penalty for sin. He said in Hebrews chapter 10, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. But number three, and last of all, I'm saved to this, to the perfecting of the Savior.
Amen.
I'm glad He owns me.
Amen.
The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we, what? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Because His love and kindness Listen, because of His loving kindness, and His mercy and His grace, you can be saved. Let's bow our heads this morning across the house. Men, as we get a verse of invitation, the Bible said in Romans chapter 10, He said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Have you ever done that? Have you ever come to a place where you trusted Jesus? Have you ever come to you and said, preacher, salvation cannot be that easy. It can't be. There's no way that salvation can be that truly easy. It's that easy. Salvation is that easy. If you'll come and believe, if you'll kneel down and believe that Jesus died for you and that He rose again for you, and you'll ask Him to save you, He'll save you today. Can I ask you something? Have you ever been saved? Are you saved from the possession of Satan? Are you saved from the penalty of sin? I didn't get to spend a long time on that penalty of sin, but I want you to understand something. Unless you're saved, you're going to face it one day with no hope and no way of getting out of it. To burn forever. Say, you're trying to scare me, preacher. No, I want you to come to the realization that hell's real and you're going to spend eternity there. If you don't get saved, God help us this morning. If you don't get saved, you're going to spend eternity there. And you need to understand that. You need to understand that you're going to stand before a just and a righteous God one day. Say, He'd never do it. According on the authority of God's Word. What did He tell the rich man? He said, if they don't believe the Word of God, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they ain't going to believe this. If you don't believe Moses and the prophets and the Word of God, friend, you ain't going to believe nothing anyway. You better believe the Word of God. It's true. You're not true. I'm not true in myself, only in the Word of God. You need to get saved. Then you'll belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be His. If you've never been saved, I want you to come this morning. I want you to come. You might need to come and get some things right with God. I want you to come this morning and get them right with God. Heavenly Father, wish You'd help right now in this invitation. I pray, Lord, that You've spoke to hearts. You've dealt with hearts. And Lord, I pray that You'll help them to be saved. I feel like there's some folk here that's lost this morning that needs to get saved. And Lord, I pray that You'll deal with them, that they'll understand what it means to be saved, that they've been saved from the penalty of sin and from the possession of Satan and from his power and his clutches. And Lord, that they don't have to die lost, can't live good enough, can't do enough good, can't do enough works, and that to be saved. Lord, I pray that You've dealt with our heart this morning about salvation. Just as sure as You've done mine, and I moved, and You saved me, Lord, let them come and get saved this morning. If somebody needs to come, maybe draw close. Or maybe they're not where they belong. God, maybe they're not where they belong in You. And I pray that they'll come and get things right with You. Help during this invitation for these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and praise. We stand to our feet.